Good morning, everybody. Well, that song, U2 song, has a lot of spiritual truth in it. We're going to be talking about today change, as we've been talking the last several weeks. And we're going to talk about what happens when you're part of a team or in a community where there's things happening that there really is not a model for. Sometimes God starts doing things in your life and it comes to a place where you're not really sure what the next step is. You're not sure what you should do. You know, when we're little kids, many of us saw our parents and we emulated our parents. We wanted to do exactly what they did, be exactly who they were. And then eventually we get to an age where we're realizing, no, I don't want to be that way. Or that's not the way I should be. Or some of us go into business and maybe there's some mentor who mentors us in business and we just do everything that person says. And then we get to a point where we realize, well, the things that I'm about in business aren't what that person's about. And the things that they did to get to where they needed to be is different from what I need to do. And now I'm not sure exactly who I should emulate or follow. Or maybe that's the way you found it in parenting or whatever. There just comes this place in your life where you realize the model, the pattern, the idol doesn't work for me anymore. There's something new. There's something unique. There's something I got to experience that I haven't experienced before. Several weeks ago, I decided to try something I hadn't experienced before to help me get closer to God. And I went to this old Catholic monastery to take a silent retreat down in the middle of Kentucky someplace. And you go down and be a bunch of monks who do nothing but pray and chant all day. And they make candles that they sell to support their lifestyle. But it's a silent thing and you can go down there and just hang out with them in this retreat center and say nothing, do nothing. And while I was there, I don't know about you, but I don't do many days where I don't talk at all. That's rare. So 4 days straight, no talking, except the second day, I realized there's no phone there, no coverage gets there. I had to like drive off campus to just see if someone died or something like that. I'd have a little brief conversation and come back. But I learned that there was a guy there named Thomas Merton. Have you ever heard of a guy named Thomas Merton? He's an old spiritual classic writer back in the 50s, 60s. This was a monk that had some great things to say and was fairly popular a couple decades ago. And I didn't realize that this was actually his home base of operation. This was where he was. And one of the things I read in the library there was that he actually was able to have a little hermitage, they called it, a little house away from where everybody else was. And I thought, boy, I wonder if everybody else got jealous because he had a separate little shack away from everybody. So I went to the gift shop one day where they sell their candles and you can talk in there. And they had this old Catholic priest in there. He was like 90 and he had been there since he was 17. And he knew Thomas Merton firsthand. And I said, I'm just curious, did everybody get jealous when Thomas Merton could have this separate place by himself? And he said, no, not at all. I said, why not? And he said, we didn't know. Because they weren't talking and they couldn't talk to each other. So they had no idea that, you know, that he was over there. I thought, boy, interesting. Maybe if some of us are having a problem with gossip, starting point would be to not say anything for 24 hours, you know? And I read this, some stuff by him, and this quote that he had really struck me because it met me where I am right now in my walk with Jesus and where we are as a church. So I'm going to talk about a little bit where we are as a church. Here's what Thomas Merton said. He said, I have greater and greater confidence in the reality of the path that is no path at all. My Lord, I have no idea where I'm going. The self-help gurus would say this is an awful thing. People who are clueless who say something like this. But no, if you've been growing close with God, you do come to this place where you go, man, there's no easy answers anymore. There's no simplistic formula to filter my life through. What God's doing in me is very unique, and there's not another person before me. It's faced with all things that I'm faced with, and so there's a unique path I'm going on. And I feel like our church is like that right now. Early years of our church, we had different churches or people that we could say, yeah, we're doing like that, so this is what they do, so we do that. And God's uniquely been forming our church, our team, to where we're in a place where there is no path at all. And it's scary, but it's also very fun, and that's what we're going to deal with today. God, this is what we want. We want to be closer to you, regardless of where we are right now and our belief of you or understanding of you. We're all here right now because we love to leave this place today with a greater awareness of your presence in our lives and hope that you could actually be in our lives so that as we get about real life, things are different. Things are better. Help that happen today and use the words that are given to make that happen, and may these words be your words. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Hey, turn around and say hello to somebody close to you and have a seat. John Mayer, well-known artist today, good musician, songwriter. He's actually a guy who actually writes songs, sings, and plays them. Very rare anymore. In his most recent song, Waiting on the World to Change, one of his recent songs, here's what he says. He says, me and all my friends were all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing and there's no way we ever could. Now we see everything that's going wrong with the world and those who lead it. We just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it. So we keep waiting, waiting on the world to change. We keep waiting, waiting on the world to change. And the whole song is a litany of all the things that are wrong in the world and all the reasons why they're powerless. And so they're waiting for the world to change until they actually do anything. He's a great artist. He's an awful teacher. It's ridiculous for us to think that I can't make a difference. I can't have an impact on the world. I just wait for something to happen and then I'll start doing some stuff. No. The way God works, He starts working with you and He calls you to change the situations you're in. So not just that your life changes, but the situations that you're in start to change. And we see this throughout Jesus' life. Actually, His whole book is all about people's stories, their personal relationships with God, how God changes them and has them change the world in which they reside, all through the whole thing. And Jesus has this great example of boom, boom, two back-to-back interactions where we see how people are getting changed and they're changing people around them. This comes from the book of Mark chapter 2. And here's what it says. They were gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and He preached the word to them. Jesus is talking who God is. He's giving people life, giving instructions. And so many people want to be around Him, that they can't all fit in the place of meeting where He is. So they're jammed all the way around the outside of the house. Now some men came, bringing to Him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it. And then lowered the mat, that's probably the guy's name is Matt, but they lowered Matt, who was on the mat, and they lowered him through. So these four guys decide to change their friend's life. They think that if they can get their friend around Jesus, his life will change. Change requires teams. First big idea today. Change requires teams. It's a team of four people. Everybody gets a corner of the mat and they carry their friend and they decide to break through the mundane line that's waiting outside the door, actually go up on the roof and hack a hole in the roof to lower the guy through. They realize for this to happen, they have to come around their friends and they have to operate as a team. Every significant thing that has ever happened in the world has happened as a result of people being banded together with one another, people being in teams. And I'm going to talk today to those people who call Crossroads Home, who are part of the home of Crossroads, includes Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hello.
Good to see you, Josh. And this is part of what I was going to say a couple weeks ago when we did a vision night. We had baptism signifying somebody has really come in a relationship with Jesus and they've left their old dirt and their old sin behind. They've come up to new life. And the idea was going to be to do baptisms and then do vision night because change lives, that's what we're all about as a team. But then the baptisms were so awesome, I thought, I can't get up there and just like talk about all the different initiatives that are happening around here. It just wasn't right. Because that's the vision. Change lives, period. So we just ended it. So part of what I'm going to say tonight is what I would have said a few weeks ago. And part of what I'm going to say today is what all of us need to be exposed to who are a part of this church and understanding that we need to be involved with teams. So Josh brought me up some props to signify some things of what teams look like. Sometimes you take a look at a team on the outside and you're not sure exactly what it looks like. It's got this, like this thing. This is a group. There's a bunch of different things that are in this group. And it's white on the outside. It's sort of crusty here. And you wonder, what exactly is on the inside of something like this? And so you've got to like break through it to see what is, it's a different color. Something I didn't really anticipate being on the this kind of red cherish stuff, okay? And so you got to break through to be a part of that thing and figure out what's really on the inside of it. Other times there's things like this is man-made. Men, women put this thing together, so you're not sure exactly what's in there. But when God makes something like this, you know exactly what's inside of it because it's always consistent. Although, if you never had one of these before, you looked on the outside, you see hard yellow stuff, and you go, what exactly is the inside of that? So you have to kind of get that thing open. You all right down there? Okay. Wait till I bring out the watermelon. Wait till that happens. That's coming. And so you would just check what's in there. And so sometimes you look at a group or a team and you got to break through to find out. And something is on the inside, something that you didn't expect. Other times there's teams that are nice and they're really warm and fuzzy. You know, and you go, what is on the inside of something? I'm just curious. What? Yeah, I'll give you that. We're not going to hurt Buttercup. Don't worry. Everyone say hello to Buttercup and goodbye. Just keeping you on your toes there. Keeping you on your toes. Now, this right here symbolizes many spiritual communities or many teams or many churches. This is. It's hard on the outside. It's hard to get into. It's sort of lifeless. But if you work hard enough and you break through, all of a sudden there's softer stuff on the inside. And many people have this experience with church communities you might be a part of. It's hard to break in. It's hard to get through. But once you get in, it's sweet and it's soft and it's nice and it's gushy and this is an unhealthy church, by the way. This is an unhealthy team. The communities that God builds, teams that God works in, are not like this. But yet we think this is the way it should be in some twisted way. Hard to get in. Have standards that you have to get into. Have things, laws you have to abide. And once you pass a certain test, then you can come in. You can be a part of it. I don't like coconut teams. What I like is this. It's a peach. It's a peach. It's warm and fuzzy on the outside, actually. And actually, it's very easy to get into it. You know, it's very easy to break into the peach. And you start to think, oh boy, there's not really that much substance to a peach. So you start, and all of a sudden, man, oh, what in the world is in the center? And you find that at the center of the peach, there is a hard inner core. And if you had never had a peach before, you would bite into this thing and you would break your teeth because the center of a peach is hard core. In this room here today, there are many of us that are nice and soft, wonderful, and there are some in here who are like hard core. I'm going to talk today to those of us who are hard core and those of us who want to get closer to the center and be hardcore. Because there's a thing around here where don't be confused about the fun and the nice stuff we do. You bite into us the wrong way, you will break your teeth. Because there's some things that just will not change. Because there's some things that God never wants to change. Things about who He is and all that kind of stuff. And teams need a hard inner core. Let me get all this stuff off here. There we go. Change requires teams, and change brings questions. Change requires teams, and change brings questions. These guys are hacking through the roof, and they come down, and Jesus starts saying things to people. And Jesus, as He's interacting with these guys, people are confused as to why Jesus is saying the things that He's saying. People are asking questions amongst themselves, wondering exactly what is going on. And this happens every time Jesus is changing somebody's life. There is questions. Change brings questions. The very next thing that happens after He interacts with Matt, we'll come back to Matt in a moment, but the very next thing that happens is He goes out and He's inviting other people to come into His core. He's inviting other people. These are people He invited into His core that other communities would have no part of. He would invite tax collectors to come into His inner core. Tax collectors, people who are Jews, people who other Jews saw as the worst kind of Jew you could be because the Romans would hire these tax collectors because they understood the money trail in Jewish culture and therefore they could go and extract more taxes and siphon off some for themselves. And nobody wanted to be around these people except Jesus. He would pull these people into His inner core. He would go out and He would pull people who were turning tricks the night before, the prostitutes. He would pull them into His inner core, the people who no one else wanted to have at their inner core. And so as He was doing this and hanging out with these kind of people, here's a question that He gets. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why does that happen? Why is it that you're saying these things to different people? Why is it that, how can you say you believe in the Bible, Jesus, and yet you're doing things on the Sabbath that God, we think, says you shouldn't do on the Sabbath? Why is that? Well, now, who do you think you are coming out of Nazareth and saying the things you did? What good comes out of Nazareth? And why? But every time people are on Jesus, they're asking questions. And that's what it'll be in your life. When people start to see you change, there will always be questions, because questions are where something is that hasn't been seen before. If people don't see you changing, they never have to ask any questions because they understand you totally, because they've always seen you before. Whenever there's something that is changing, there is always questions. And for some reason, we tend to think in our culture that where there's questions, there's something that's bad. It's bad. It's really bad. I don't understand it, so I got to ask all these questions. I don't know why we think that way. Actually, when there's questions, it could be that God's doing something that's different, that's never been done before, and therefore people don't understand it, and they ask these questions. So why there's all kinds of questions that swirl around our church. People don't understand us. They don't understand us because they haven't seen something like what we're about before. There's questions. You don't have questions about something that's been around for a couple hundred years and sing the same songs they sang 75 years ago, because you understand those things. You understand those kind of structures. You understand but when something is new, when something is changing, when something is morphing, when something is impacting the world, there's questions. Now, let me just rattle off a few questions that are being asked around here, and these will give you a little bit of insight into who we are as a team and what you understand if you want to become part of the core around here, part of the hardcore. One of the questions that's been going on is, hey, how's Crossroads doing financially? How is Crossroads doing financially? Because we bit off a big nut coming in here, and I went through a cash crunch not too long ago, and interesting stuff. Let me show you this little graph here. Ken Chesterman, our finance guy, put this together. This is kind of a confusing graph, but sort of a history of our last several months, and it shows how much giving, expenses, and, you know, green. When you see green, that means we're getting in more than we're spending. From a perseverance standpoint, that's good. That's real good. When you see orange, that means we're spending more than we're getting, which is real good because we like spending money to build into people. But if you do that for too long, that's bad. That's real bad. You like go, you know, you just don't have any money to survive and do ministry another day. Here's the most recent months, what this looks like. Most recent months, it looks like this. That's good. That's real good right there. That's yes. Every single, all happy stuff today. Honestly, today, all happy stuff. This is good stuff. It's not like, now we're going to share the bad news. No, and there's great news like this to say, hey, it's great news. From September through December, it's the most recent September through December, our giving, and where does that come from? Average people like you and I right here, our giving versus the previous September to December to the ministry fund is 40% higher. 40% higher, yeah. And that's not because our attendance has grown by 40%. It's just because we're becoming more generous and growing in that. So this money reflects all the things that we do in building into kids in Kids Club, funding Whiz Kids and the tutoring program we have, money that we give to other organizations in the city who work with people in poverty, staff salaries that do things like Kingdom and build into our infrastructure, booklets that are done, computers that are bought around here, HVAC stuff that's brought through here. I mean, all the different things that the basic day-to-day ministry, that's that. And things are cool. Crossroads is doing really well financially there. Now, there's another big bucket of money, which is the Crazy Campaign, which was commitments we made above and beyond what we were giving for ministry fund over a three-year period to do things like build this building, the AIDS hospice in South Africa, crazychurch.com, a web portal that was absolutely free to give cutting-edge content to other churches for free so we could help them do ministry. And here's what those spreadsheets look like. We looked at these several months ago. I'll just show you the latest update on this. Again, Ken put this together. Here on the left-hand side, you'll see that we had $29.7 that was committed, original commitment in the Crazy Campaign. To date, we've received $20.7 million. And there's remaining $9 million that hasn't come in of what people committed when we've still got plenty of time left with the Crazy Campaign. So what that means in terms of the overall debt load of our church, which is a big indicator of how healthy we are financially and how flexible and nimble we can be, looks like on the right. Originally, we had $7 million in debt that was building the original building and the property and all that stuff. Added on to that, additional $7.4 million that we've spent around Crazy Campaign, all of the additional initiatives. Annex was Mose or Dodge. We bought for over $4 million. I'm paying a little bit down on that. But long-term debt, we've got to deal with the annex. That's 3.4, total of $17.8 million in debt. And then as remaining commitments come in, that brings it down to $8.8 million. And if not all the nine comes in, then there's just longer, higher amount of longer-term permanent financing. We feel very good about this number. We feel great about this number. For perspective, this is what our ministry fund budget is about for a year right now. And it'll only get bigger probably as more people come become a part of our church. But right now, our ministry fund budget can support that very adequately. That's like you, if you had a $50,000 salary, having a mortgage for $50,000. Fine, gives you flexibility. So this is good stuff. So how's Cross is doing financially? We feel really good where we're going, and it's because of you. So awesome. Phenomenal job. Way to go. So that's one question. But people have these questions. What is doing that big building? Why this one? Weird questions. Here's another question. A question of, is CityLink dead? Is CityLink dead? CityLink is an initiative that we got picketed on. We came into this building. We had a prayer service. And I think it was the first prayer service ever to dedicate a building that cost millions of dollars. And people were upset because we were doing too much for the poor. I think it was the first time that ever happened. We have picketers who have not liked the strategy that we've had in partnering with other churches and organizations who are working with people in poverty down in the city. And who's ever seen Pursuit of Happiness? Will Smith? Anyone seen him? Yeah, that's a good movie, isn't it? It's good. If you're going to see the movie, just let me tell you, it has a good ending. Now, I didn't ruin the movie for you, but that's the only reason you'll sit through the whole thing. Because if I didn't know it had a good ending, I would have just left and cut my wrists. It is a, you're sitting there, you're just going, oh my goodness. It's a true story about a guy and his son that get themselves out of poverty. And they show in the movie, realistically, what happens when you're in poverty. And I think what's great about it is many of us who've not been in poverty or don't have friends who are in poverty, we just think that, you know, if you're in poverty, it's pretty simple. Get a job. Get a J-O-B. Go to work. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Get off your butt. Well, if you know anyone in poverty, you've been in poverty, you know it's not that simple. It's not. There is a myriad of societal, cultural, family aspects that are all... It's not that simple. There's so many things that are involved with it. And that's the one thing I don't like about the movie, is that this guy is the one in a million case who pulls himself up by the bootstrap, does it on his own, and virtually in never, most cases worldwide or in the real world does this happen. It happens because teams come around and help somebody. Teams do, and that's what the CityLink concept is a team saying we need teams of volunteers working together with people, teams of organizations, teams of churches. So when someone comes to one facility as opposed to going here and then here and then here all over the city and being lost in the shuffle and having no accountability as they go from place to place, they come to one place where they can get it all. They can get food, they can get clothing, they can get job training, they can get loving, they can nurturing. And not only does they get relief right there, but they have an account history where we know what their background has been, what they've been through to offer accountability and unique help. And there's relationships there. There's volunteers that are building relationships with people that transcend the facility so that outside the facility they can see real life change. Not so that they're dependent on getting handouts, but the old thing is they get a hand up. And this happens in teams. It's been a long haul. We had approval to buy the building, and the city said, yes, what you want to do with this building, it fits right within zoning guidelines. So we paid cash for the building. When I say we, I mean all the partners, all the teams, pay cash for the building. And then someone got upset, and they had a hearing, and the zoning board, the appeals board, turned us down, said, no, you can't do it from a... to vote of like 4-3 or 3-2 or something like that. So we've been in an appeal process, losing appeals, and then we won the most recent appeal. The verdict, we won very, very soundly. It was Ralph Winkler, who had the verdict. And here's what Ralph Winkler, Judge Ralph Winkler, said in the verdict. He said this: from all the evidence contained in the record, the zoning board made the wrong decision. This decision was made as a result of extreme political pressure from various neighborhood, community, and economic councils groups, associations near the proposed location of CityLink. As a judge, I must look beyond the political agenda of city council, city officials, and community activists to make a fair and proper decision in this case. The ZBA's decision was arbitrary, unreasonable, and unsupported by a preponderance of substantial, reliable, and probative evidence on the whole record. Yes, good. Now, those who are opposed, who God loves and are good folks, you know, see the world differently, are appealing again. And so it's going to, it's far from being over, but no, it's not dead. And I, you know what? There's questions about CityLink. Oh, what about this? What's the long term this? How, of course there's questions. It's something that hasn't been done before. It's brand new. Anything that is new is a part of change, brings questions. The same old programs that have been going forever and ever and ever and actually don't bring people in mass out of poverty. Everyone understands them. The things that are new, the things that are, the teams are being creative and innovative and trying something that hasn't been done before. There's always questions because it's never been seen before. When there's questions about a project, it doesn't mean that something is wrong. It means that something is new, that something is going to be different. Maybe it's part of the solution. So CityLink dead? No, it is not dead. Here's another question. Hey, what's up with the Crossroads sign? I noticed it's different. I don't know if you noticed that the Crossroads signage around here has changed. Over in the corner, it used to say Crossroads Community Church, real place for real people. Now it just says Crossroads. That's all it says, just basic Crossroads. Why is that? Well, a few reasons. One is, and I'm just giving you these questions because you're going to see some of the reasons where we make decisions around here and what the hardcore is about. Part of the reason we changed the sign was when you say you're coming here, what do you say? You say, I'm going to go to Crossroads. Or someone says, are you part of a church? Yeah, I'm part of Crossroads. You don't say, yes, I'm part of Crossroads Community Church, a real place for real people. It's just the way you refer to it. It's Crossroads. So it more accurately reflects who we are. And the other big thing is we wanted to start tearing down the assumption the church is a building. I say sometimes, hey, I'll meet you at the church. I say that sometimes. It's kind of a pattern. There's nothing like really bad with it. But this is not the church. The church is you, wherever you are with other teammates. That's the church. Church is not confined to a building. It is not. So we want to start tearing down the walls and say, no matter how big a building is or how nice what happens in the building is, that's not the church. If the team is gathered there, then the church is there. But the church is not the building. It's not the location. And we want to totally demystify this space. We don't want this space to be this mystical, oh, this is God's house. No, it's not God's house. God doesn't mind jelly donuts being smashed all over the place. God might mind rabbits being smashed. But this is not God's house. It needs to be dealt with tenderly. It's not. And we're actually going to be exercising hospitality. New announcement I have for you. Every Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m., the building is going to be open for anybody who wants to see you at 3500 opening. Free coffee, free Wi-Fi, free couches. So you can come in here. And you can use it, and this is going to be just the start. We're going to be building to, this is an experiment, we're going to be building to 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. every night. Anyone can come in here. So if you want to have a small group in here, come in here. If a business wants to have a business meeting and they have no connection with Crossroads at all, but they like free Wi-Fi, free coffee and couches, come on in here. Sit in our atrium. It's wonderful. If a mom is agnostic but finds there's good gymnastic equipment for kids to play on and wants to come in here and just debrief and just have her kid play, come in here. We want to use this building to be a blessing to the community. We want to offer hospitality. We want to tear down walls and say, hey, use this place. We want to leverage this building to touch people's lives, including having outside acts come in. We had some, we're not the promoter. There's promoters that are talking with us wanting to rent our space. I thought we had two acts that were going to be coming in that the promoter was going to be renting. They fell through, so I think I can tell you who they were. Vince Gill almost came and Howie Mandel almost came. I was like, man, bummer. Those would have been awesome to get here. We want this place. This is the greatest space for performance in the city, we believe. This thing shouldn't be just used on Sunday morning or Saturday night or next levels. This thing should be enjoyed by the community, leveraged, and maybe people will have a bridge into our place. Maybe they'll come in here and say, boy, there's not blood in the walls. This isn't a weird thing in here. Maybe I might come here on a weekend and see what these people are about. So that the signage all reflects that. It's all about the hardcore, not being wedded to the seat, but out in the midst of the world. One last question. No, two more. I've heard this. This is verbatim. What were you thinking with Imagine? Imagine is actually the Christmas Eve thing we did. Actually, the actual quote was, what the hell were you thinking with Imagine? That's the actual literal quote. Some came to our Christmas Eve experience and really loved it. Some came to Christmas experience and really didn't understand it and therefore didn't like it at all. And if we were to do Imagine Over, we'd do some things differently. It's the first time we ever did something like that before. We learned. But hear me very clearly, we're not apologizing for Imagine at all. We think it was a great idea, and we thought some people in here really got your lives touched pretty deeply by that, didn't you? Yeah, some of you did. Not everyone liked it. That's okay. But here's what you need to realize is that If you want a place where you can have a predictable Christmas Eve experience, where there's hay, where there's little baby in a manger and kids singing, go somewhere else. Go, I'm serious. Go to. We've done that in the past. Maybe we'll do that in the future. But if you want our team to be the same old, oh, this is the way Christmas Eve is, wrong place for you. We're going to continue to try different things and change different things because we think there's a new place, new places that God wants to take us. Now, Super Bowl service, that was a new, difficult thing we did about 5 years ago. And we've done it 5 years straight. And I tell you, it'll be just this grand slam home run this week. It'll be great. And you'll be able to bring your friends to that. You'll be able to have all the things operating, humor and different creative things. And people are going to walk out getting something that is a message we believe from God and also a sense of the heartbeat of our community. That's what the whole Super Bowl service is about. We've had 5 years to hone that sucker. Imagine, and those things, brand new, and there's things that you improve and things you do different, but we are going to continue to do things that we've never done before because we are not content with the way things have always been. And we think our greatest days are ahead of us, and it requires change. Another question, last question I'll mention, those others. What is this about different locations of Crossroads? Heard that question. What's this about different locations? There are different locations of our church. There's a group of people who actually meet in Louisiana, and they were part of our church. I think they came to know Christ here in the midst of our church, and they couldn't find something they connected with, so they actually get our DVDs, and they have all their friends over their house, and they have church at their house. They have church at their house, and then actually they've been our ambassadors with Katrina Relief. We're going to show a video of them in a few weeks. They actually went and interact with the people that we supported and rebuilt homes for with Katrina. Because, again, it's not about this building, no matter how big or how full it is. We want to be like a virus that just like spreads all over the place. And the virus is spreading up to the north, to a location in the suburbs up in the north. And there's going to be other locations all around. There's people who are up in the north who've just said, I came to know Christ here, and then I moved up there because it was too expensive to live in the city, and I just moved up there. And now I don't like driving 45 minutes to come down here, but not that I don't like driving. The most important thing is my friends that I want to carry on a mat, they won't take a 45-minute gamble to come down and then a 45-minute drive back. Could we have a location up here? So we're working on that, and there is going to be that. There's about 20 people or so that are working on that. We need live music and live kids club up there and a piped-in message many weeks, satellite live transmission from what's happening right here. Because most of you right now, you're not looking at me, you're looking at the screen. You're not looking at me. And so it doesn't make any difference to you if I'm up north and you're seeing this on the screen, or if I'm here live and you're seeing that on the screen up there, or there's live people both places. We're not sure exactly how that's all going to work out. There's questions about it. There's a lot of questions about any time there's change, there's questions because it's the pioneering unknown. But there is a location that's going to be coming to serve that area in a more powerful, viral way. Sometime over the next several months. I didn't even say several months, but sometime in the future. Now, here's what's interesting. With all these things and in your life, any team you want to be a part of, here's the way it works. There are problems. Problems demand solutions. Solutions mandate changes. Change brings growth, which then brings problems, which needs solutions, which requires change, which then brings growth, that then brings problems, that requires solutions. There's this ongoing cycle. And so whenever you're in a place where you think all I have to do is get this one thing fixed and then everything will be okay, you're wrong. Because, it's the third and last thing I'll say today, change multiplies change. Changes multiply changes. When you change, there are more things that will change out of it. It's not like you change and then you're settled for a while. Change multiplies changes. This is what happens as Jesus is interacting with Matt. It says this. He said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat. What happened? Am I fly down or something? What happened? Huh? Oh, John Madden's up there. Man, okay, I'll get to Madden in a minute, but I'm talking about Matt right now, okay? So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. You know, there's a lot of people that were really upset what Jesus was doing. A lot of people who are really upset. They're like, hey, why isn't this guy waiting in line just like everybody else? Why is this team thinking of creative ways to get their friend to Jesus? Why is this team hacking into personal property? Imagine Jesus sitting there having hamburgers, doing teaching, and asbestos is dropping on people. Roof tiles are dropping on people. And Jesus welcomes this. He welcomes this change. He welcomes this avant-garde attitude. He welcomes this sense of aggression where this team just says, man, I just want to get my friend closer to Jesus. And he lowers them, and Jesus says, man, this is awesome. Today, pick up your mat, go. And everyone's sitting around going, I can't believe this. I can't believe that Jesus didn't get upset that these people cut in line. I can't believe Jesus didn't get upset about personal property destruction. I can't believe that Jesus healed somebody. This guy walked out. And they said, we've never seen anything like this. If you're on a team where God is involved, people should be regularly asking questions. And people should be saying, we have never seen anything like this. People say that about our team right now. They say, wait a minute. You send 300 people, like Africa says, the largest group of people one time has ever gone to them. You did 300 people one time, and these people did it themselves, raised their own money. We have never seen anything like this. We have people like do whiz kids, and they volunteer their time, and they're building in a family. We have never seen that. The big church is actually equal partners with other smaller organizations because they feel like they don't have all the answers. They want to help people in poverty and do a city link thing. You're actually buying buildings for cash and not building your own empire. We have never seen anything. Kids wake up. You're saying kids wake up and they cry and scream when their mom and dad are too weeny to drive to church in the snow because they want to go to kids club. You mean kids cry and scream because they want to go to church because kids club speaks their language? What? We have never seen anything. You mean that church? It's like everyone's not the same. You mean there's rich people and poor people in that church, and it's like the rich people don't have a greater say than the poor people? What? We have never said. You mean it's like old people and young people and white people and purple people and black people and they're all this and they don't. We have never seen anything. What are you doing? Like a website to give your stuff away for free instead of doing American capitalism to profit off of your creative ideas. You're actually giving away and spending money, hundreds of thousands of dollars in a web system to give it away. What? We have never seen that. There's people come to your church. There's people come to your church and you got like hardcore Bible-y people and there's people come to your church that have major issues in your life and they're in recovery or they're adulterers or tax cheaters or homosexuals. And they're actually all in the same exact building and they're actually up for being grown in the same time and you're okay with everybody being at we have never seen anything. You don't actually take commitments for a budget. You just trust people are going to be generous, but then you just make commitments that are going to be spent, and you don't know what's going to come in. We have never seen. Now hold on here. You want me to keep going? Let me keep going. I keep going. Friend, this is the way. This is the way. When God works a team, you go to a place where people have never seen this stuff before, and there's problems and there's mistakes. Obviously, but man, that's what this team should be about. People say, "I don't understand." I got to ask questions, of course, because God does a new thing all the time in the Bible. God does a new thing. He calls new groups of people to new tasks to do new things. He talks about new covenants, new wine. The new man over and over, new different things. And if you want the same old, you have to go someplace else. Honestly, I don't know, a year from now, we might have weekend services that are 2 hours. A year from now, we might have no weekend services at all. Honestly, I mean that. I don't know all the things that are going to happen in the future. All I know is all of us need to say, who are in the core, want to be in the core, say, God, whatever you want, I want that. Just pull me closer. I just want to be around you. Now my John Madden picture. I was at Canton driving up there recently, and I was reminded of John Madden's induction in the Hall of Fame. We have Tom Merton, John Madden. Okay, and John Madden had this really interesting speech, which I love the Hall of Fame, first of all, because the Hall of Fame really gets its idea of the Hall of Fame from the Bible. There's a passage, there's a whole verse or a chapter in the Bible from Hebrews chapter 11, which is referred to as the Hall of Faith.
And in the Hall of Faith, there's person after person who was a part of a team that did something that had never been done before, and they're memorialized as heroes to inspire everyone. Teams that came together to escape from bondage and part Red Seas, and teams that were, you know, getting into this land, and teams that were doing this, and it just memorialized person. And so the Hall of Fame, we want to like memorialize important people, have a Hall of Fame. It ties into a Bible idea. And John Madden, at his acceptance speech, he said this. He said, "I ride on the shoulders of hundreds of friends into the Hall of Fame." He says, "Even though that my bust is there in the fame, I was a part of a team, because it is teams that change the world. It is teams that do significant things." And then he said this. I thought it was really cool. I don't remember the exact word, but here's basically what he said. He said, "I believe that at the end of the day, when my bus is put in the Hall of Fame, at the end of the day, when the last tourist leaves, at the end of the day, when the last employee leaves, at the end of the day, at the end of the night, when the last custodian puts his broom away, walks out, turns off the light, and locks the door, when he walks away and there is nobody left inside the hall, I believe," he said, "the bus come alive. I believe they come alive and we talk about the past, and we reminisce about the past, and maybe we even play football, maybe Roger Staubach throws to Don Hutson, and there's a life that comes with the team that's in the hall." And I actually sat there and chills were going up and down my spine, because there's so many things that we believe or want to believe that we do so because God plants that in our heart. I don't know if John Madden has ever read the Bible or understand Hebrews 11, but that is exactly what Hebrews 12:1, the very next verse, says after the Hall of Faith. It says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, the chains, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us." Cloud of witness. You know what it says? It says to all of us who are reading that right now, all of these greats in the Hall of Fame, Moses, Rahab, people use names you never even heard of, they are a cloud of witnesses that stands around us right now and says, "Oh, yes, yes," they cheer you on. Your grandmother. Your grandmother maybe has cheered. Yes, yes, they cheer us on. Says, "Let's change. Let's throw off the stuff," because there is a team that's cheering on the team that's here right now. See, the hardcore folks are not the ones that plant their butts in the seats in here. They're the ones that pick up their seed and plant themselves in wherever they are. Because, see, the hard seed, the nice mushy stuff that's nice and fun, that rots and goes nowhere. It's the hardcore seed that's planted and goes underground that gives life. It's the hardcore seed that actually changes, reproduces, pops up, and starts something that people haven't seen before that's brand new. And there's hardcore in here. You got to change. And I don't know exactly what you got to do, but you got to change. If you want to be part of the core, if you want to be that kind of change agent, there's things that God wants you to say no to. Just say no. And there's things that God wants you to say yes to. Just say yes. And our team right here, whoever's on our team, God is regularly looking at us and saying, "Will you say yes? Will you say yes to things that I want to do, even if you've never seen it before, and even if you're fearful about it, and even if it doesn't make sense? If you're close to me, will you say yes?" God, we do want to say yes. This is an anthem that we have. This is a cry of our heart. At least my heart, and a good percentage of us in here. For some of us who have been in the core, we've felt alone sometimes. Others of us, we want to move from peach fuzz to seed. And the way we do that is by looking at you and just saying yes.
Yes, 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 we say yes to you. Yes, yes, yes. Say yes to